Welcome back. This is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from the Young Israel Chassei Clifton, continuing our halachic insights of the Daf HaShavua series. Today's shiur is on Meseches Moikot on Daf Chesamad Beis, and it discusses the reasoning behind why one cannot get married in Chol HaMoed. Two little just introductions to the shiur, two perfunctory comments. Number one, as I've said a number of times in this series, one of the things that the beauties that this series provides and the shiurim provide is a chance for me to explore the concept with you. That is, Gemara is totally based on reasoning. It's totally based on reasons. In fact, that's how Gemara in Bava Metzia characterizes Gemara's explanation of the Mishnayos. Knowing the reason is so important, because when you know the reason, you're able to understand different aspects of the halacha and you see how the halacha develops. And what we're going to be doing today, Be'ezus Hashem, is taking two different reasons of the Gemara as to why one is not allowed to get married during Chol HaMoed, and taking the reasoning, showing the difference between the two, and using an application of the difference between the two to give us a different, better understanding of this concept. Now, just to begin, we'll just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us on Ches Amud Beis, towards the second half of the Amud, Einosin Noshim B'Moed, one may not get married on Chol HaMoed, V'lo Besulos V'lo Amonos, whether it's a woman who's never been married before is a loose translation of Besula, nor a widow, somebody who's been married before, V'lo Miyab, in order to do Yibam, Mesha Simcha Hulo, because it's considered to be a Simcha for him. The Aval Machzer, who is Krushoso, but a person could remarry a woman that he divorced, the Osa Isha is Tachshita, I'm sorry, I'll stop over there, V'Machzer is Krushoso, and the implication is that's not such as a big Simcha, as Rashi says, Machzer Krushoso, in the Simcha Kokach. So the Gemara says, looks at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah clearly delineates the fact that you may not get married in Chol HaMoed because it's a Simcha. And the Gemara just says basically what we say in Hebrew, Asma, so what? Or as the Gemara puts it, B'chi Simcha Ulo, Mayhavi, so what? What's the big deal? So what if it's a Simcha? Adarabah. We should be happy we have Simchas. What's wrong with Simchas? Adarabah, Simchas are wonderful. We want to have as many Simchas as possible. So the Gemara is actually brings down a number of reasons, and I wanted to focus on the top two reasons that are brought down, the first two reasons. And I'll read you what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, the Amrilon, the others who were saying was Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Lefi She'in Me'arvin, Simcha B'Simcha, because we do not mix two Smachos together, meaning we don't want to have the same time having one Simcha of Yontif and one Simcha of Achasna going on. We're going to see very soon the reason as to why that's the case. Another reason was brought down, and that reason is quoted in the name of Rabbi Baruch Huna. The Gemara says, Rabbi Baruch Huna Amar, B'nei Shemeniach Simchas HaRegel, the Osek B'Simchas Ishto, because a person moves or removes the Simcha, leaves the Simcha of Yontif, and deals only with the Simcha of his wife. And the Gemara continues on. Amar Rabbi Rav Yosef, Hada Amar Rabbi Huna, Diravu. The reason of that, really, what Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is saying is really similar to what Rav says. The Amar Rav Daniel Bar Ketina Amar Rav, Minayin Shein Noshim Noshim B'Moed. How do we know that we don't get married on Yontif and Chol HaMoed? Shenamar B'Samachta B'Chagecha. You should rejoice on your holidays and your festivals. And Gemara darshins out, B'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, with your yontif, you had to rejoice in your yontif and not rejoice with your wife. Not that this should say that a person should not enjoy yontif with his wife, or should not be happy with his wife. The Gemara, of course, promotes shalom bayis, but rather what it's saying is a person shouldn't just share the simcha of Yontif should not be mixed with the Simcha of getting married. So we got two reasons over here. But before we get to a nafkamina as to what the difference between the two reasons is, let's first try to explain what does it mean, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, you may not mix two Simchas together. Don't really understand that concept. We seem to do this theory often. Has that happened in a shul where you have more than one bar mitzvah on the same week, or you have a two brisin on the same day? What's the problem with doing that? So Tosos compares it to the principle of Einosid mitzvos chavilos chavilos. Now we have a concept in brachos, which tells you that we try not to do two different brachos on the same kos. I would say the mitzvah of Kiddush and Havdalah, what we do on Yontif, you know, like a Yach Nahas, like we would do. We did this past year on the first night of Shavuos. The Gemara actually brings that up as a question. How can we do Kiddush and Havdalah on the same kos? And the truth is, that's the same thing. It's the same concept, but we're not going to be using one kos for Havdalah. And let's say we have a Sheva Brachos or something like that, Motzei Shabbos, but we're not going to be doing that on the same kos. And the reason why that's the case is because it looks like we're kind of cheapening things there. It's like, hey, you know something? Let's get two for the price of one. Let's get two mitzvos on the same kos, and let's make off with a little bit of a bargain. Because Chazal tell us we don't want to do that. That's not the right impression we want to give off when we're doing mitzvos, especially mitzvos of the kos. We want to go ahead and show that these mitzvos are precious to us. At the same time, having two smachos on the same side, it shows that we're going to be taking away from the simcha. Right? Just like we don't want to take away from the two mitzvos that we have by doing two for the price of one. Having two smachos together is going to take away from each other. And you're not going to have the proper simcha for both of them. So what exactly is the machlokas between the two? Where does it differ? And just a simple analysis of these two reasons is both shitos took and both shitos looked at what exactly you have over here with the chasana. And they said, what concept of the chasana is it that's creating the conflict with Yontif? According to Shmuel, who says, Ein osim mitzvos chavil, Ein marvin simcha besimcha. Shmuel is going to tell us that the concept that conflicts with the chasana is the fact that the chasana is a simcha. And the problem is having a simcha to conflict with or to impact or impinge upon the simcha of Yontif, that's going to be problematic. So it's chasana as a simcha. According to Rav, who says, V'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, the issue is not the simcha per se. The issue is the fact that it's a simcha of a chasana. A chasana, of course, being a simcha of immense proportion. That is what impinges on it. So, again, the two Amoraim are looking, you could say that the two Amoraim are looking at what exactly about a chasana impinges on simchas yontif. Could you say it's either the simcha itself, or do you want to say it's the fact that it's a simcha of a chasana? Now, that sounds really nice, and that sounds like it's almost splitting hairs a little bit. What is the difference? Why am I getting so exact as to whether I'm saying whether it's the simcha of the fact that it's a simcha, or that it's the simcha of a chasana? So what are we talking about? What do I care so much if the simcha is because it's an actual simcha, or because it's the simcha of a chasana? So the truth of the matter is, this does have a nafkamina. As we're going to be bringing down, there are actually several nafkaminas or differences that come out from in halacha that emerge from the understanding of the issue. A couple of them are addressed in the Tosos, in the Bittul Perv Yerubya Sabam Tosos on Chesim Beis. And the first one that's brought down by the Tosos is the Simcha of a Bris. Because if you're going to look at it like this, let's think about it for a second. If you say the problem is in Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, that the fact that there's a Simcha at all, the Simcha is what's impacting on it, so should it really make a difference? According to that Mandi Armor, it doesn't make a difference as to whether it's a Simcha of a Chasana or a different Simcha. Any Simcha would be problematic. And therefore, it would go without saying, according to the Mandi Armor of Shmuel, one should not, if one has a Se'udas Bris Mila that has to be made on Chol HaMoed, probably even on Yontif per se, because again, the reason why we're talking about chasanas on Chol HaMoed as opposed to on Yontif is the Mishnah in Beitza tells us we don't get married on Yontif for Shabbos because of Mekach HaMemkar. That's a whole different problem altogether. That's Kinyanim. But It would go to my, and Lania's Naiti, the whole Shaila that's being brought up by Tosos about a Bris Mila, would apply not only in Chol HaMoed, but it would apply in Yontif as well. So, again, you have an issue of a Simcha. If you're going to say the whole issue of being married is because it's the Samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, and it's something special about the Chasna itself, so then Bris doesn't come into the situation. But if you're going to say the issue is Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, so Bris could be a problem. So Tosis actually points out and says that Bris itself is not really much of an issue. And the reason why Toso says that Bris isn't much of an issue is because Bris is a little bit different. Now, what is a little bit different about the Bris? So the truth of the matter is, Toso brings two reasons why. Even if you're going to say Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha is the reason, is the compelling reason for not getting married on Sukkot, on Chol HaMoed, you'll still end up with an issue, you still end up saying that you can still have a bris, for two possibilities. One possibility is Tzar D'Yanuka. We know a bris is a wonderful simcha. Everybody enjoys a bris. Well, the truth is, everybody except one person. And that, of course, is the baby. The baby goes through a tremendous amount of tzar. In fact, the Gemara Ksuvos points out that we notice a difference in the halacha in the benching of a bris versus the benching of a chasna. By a chasna, we say, Rishus Maranamra Basin of Rech Elokeinu, Shasimcha Bimono, Vishachalum Vishalo. Right? We had those words, Shasimcha Bimono, to the benching of Sheva Brachos. We don't do that at a bris. At a bris, and Rech Elokeinu, Shasimcha Bimono, Vishachalum Vishalo, Rech Elokeinu, Shasimcha Bimono. We don't do that at a bris. We just say regular. So therefore, because the simcha of a bris is not complete, so Tosus wants to suggest that that's not really considered to be a compelling enough of a simcha to say ein marvin simcha b'simcha. That's one possibility that Tosus says. There's another possibility, and that is, oh, talking about bris. Bris has his man. Vayomashmini yumol b'sar laso. This is a pasuk from Parshas Tazria, which tells us that there's a special mitzvah to do a bris on the eighth day. So what are we supposed to do? You're going to tell me this reason of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, that's very nice. It's impinging on Simchas Yontif. Okay, but we have another compelling reason. That compelling reason is Bayom HaShmini. Bayom HaShmini overrides that. So this is where Tosos tells us that these two reasons, it's for these two reasons we say that bris is not going to be a nafkamina. But of course, we can take this whole idea of looking at reasons and look at different reasoning and find another difference between the two. And that is a possible suggestion that the Magen Avraham mentions. And the Magen Avraham says, well, what about a bris shelo bizmano? What about you have somebody, let's say it was a C-section, and because it was a C-section, the bris was supposed to be on the first day of Yontif. We don't do a C-section bris on Shabbos or on Yontif. So look what you have. That was actually just, or give you another situation, or just another situation where family of the bris was not Shomer Shabbos. And the grandparents were Shomer Shabbos, and they were going to do it by the house of the grandparents, the bris by the grandparents. And that would entail that a lot of relatives would be driving back and forth, and the moil would have to drive back and forth, or the moil would have to stay over for Yontif, but they would bring the baby back and forth, and the relatives then back and forth. And the Shiloh was asked, and it was Paskin, that the bris should take place in Chol HaMoed. So you have a bris shelo bizmana. Well, when you have a bris shelo bizmana, look at that. Now, remember we gave two reasons as to why bris isn't compelling enough of a simcha to rather to apply it to Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. We said one reason is because of Tzar D'Yanuka, and the other one is because it's bris bizmana ben shmonas yomim. Well, in this situation, it's not ben shmonas yomim. There still is Tzar D'Yanuka. So maybe one would say that could be a nafkamina. So the Magen Avraham says that we can't use that as a nafkamina either. And there's a simple reason. That bris shelo bizmana is a little bit, is different. Bris shelo bizmana, we're not just going to say that, oh, the fact that it's not the eighth day, it doesn't bear as much weight. That's not what we mean. Bris is a zman. What we mean is that once the eighth day comes in, there's a chiyuv of bris, and in fact, the baby's considered to be an RL, and the aveira being an RL continues and persists all the way till the time where a baby has that bris. So we can't just simply dismiss and say, oh, bris shelo bizmana is not as important. No, bris shelo bizmana is just as compelling of a reason as bris bizmana. So therefore, we have to strike bris as a possible nafkamina. But Tosos brings another nafkamina. And the other nafkamina would be a pidgin aben. And look at pidgin aben. Pidgin aben has the two problems that we have using bris as the nafkamina, neither of them exist during a pidgin aben. Because what do we have? We said that the problem with bris was that there's tsar de yinuka, so it's not just a simcha. No, what tsar is there by a pidgin aben? Absolutely nothing. You bring the baby in, they exchange the money, the baby's on a tray, the Kohen gives the baby Birchas Kohanim, they say a bracha, and that's the whole thing. Baby doesn't feel a slight bit of pain. It could be that the baby even sleeps through the entire ceremony, entire process. So we're not dealing with Tzar V'Yanuka. Plus, there's another thing about Pidgin Aben. There is no Zmana of Pidgin Aben. Rather, the Pasuk says, Ufduyov bin Chodesh Tipte. 30 days, once it hits 30 days, that's when it sets in. It's not a question of, oh, here's the time. No, the chiyuv is there. But it doesn't mean that it has to be done at that particular time. And in fact, that is actually a difference between a bris shelo bizmana and a pidgin aben shelo bizmana. Because again, by a bris shelo bizmana, you have the isser of being an orel. Or you have the chiyuv karis, the isser karis of being an orel. I shouldn't say isser karis, the assay of karis of being an orel. Masha ain kain, a person hasn't done a pidgin aben, there's no such chiyuv sets in. So that's what you have, the difference is a nafkamina. And that's why Tosos points out that it is a nafkamina between the two shitos. According to Rav, who says, v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, it's the fact that it's a wedding or a chasno, that's what makes it a problem on Chol HaMoed. Well, then pidgin aben is not the same type of, not the caliber of a simcha, of a chasna, and therefore, it's okay. But if you want to say, according to Shmuel, the fact that a chasna is a simcha, and that makes it a problem impinging on the simcha of Yontif. So therefore, we have a nafkamina. Happens to be Tosos concludes that we paskin like the reasoning of Rav. I'll read you the line. V'nir li dekayim alon ki Rav Ashi didarish berer chagiga berer kama b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. Ve'in asur la'arev simcha b'simcha. So Tosos brings that down as a possibility that, you know, not only is it nafkamina, but it's a possibility that that's what we'll be following b'din. But again, I'm not ready to give you a psak. I'm just here to go ahead and bring out the differences. Now, we'll bring you another nafkamina. Till now, we've been understanding this concept of the samachta b'chagecha. V'lo b'ishtecha is just simply, what is the simcha? The simcha is getting married. It's the actual wedding. The Magen Avraham has an interesting chiddush. The Magen Avraham says that the chiddush of b'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha is not limited per se to the actual wedding itself. But what's it referring to? It says that you have to have a simcha on your chag. What's the simcha? The simcha is defined by your su'udah of basar v'yayin. The su'udah of basar v'yayin that you have on a chag has to be defined as b'chagecha, a yontiftika su'udah, as opposed to a su'udah with your wife, meaning because of your wife. So the Magen Avraham learns this concept as not just referring to just a wedding, this wedding itself, or a chasna itself, but he says it actually refers to the su'udas nisuin. Now you're going to tell me, asma, so there's a big nafkamina. The big nafkamina is, what if you make a chasna without a su'uda? And in fact, I was just reading a biography of Ariel Sharon, the late prime minister of Eretz Yisrael. And it mentions that in 1953, one day, he and his wife-to-be walked into the offices of one of the Rav HaTzfayim, the army rabbis, and they got married. And they sent a telegram to each of their parents saying that, hey, guess what? We have a mazel tov. We got married. I can't imagine that they made a very fancy suda afterwards. In fact, the writer of the book, who was Omri Sharon, Sharon's son, said, They did the same thing when they got married, except they changed a little bit due to the times. While Ariel Sharon sent his parents a telegram, Army Sharon, a little bit more technologically advanced, when he got married, used a telephone. But this happens to be a possible nafka mina too. The nafka mina being that if you don't have a seuda with your chasana, that would also be a potential nafka mina as to whether you can do it on Yontif or not. Well, one other nafka mina that's brought down, and that is having a chasana on Purim. Now, it's another interesting thing. When we speak about Purim, the Megillah tells us that Purim is a simcha, yemei mishchev, a simcha v'yom tov. However, Gemara tells us that we never officially, formally adopted Purim as a yontif. And in fact, there is no Isra Malacha. The Gemara and Megillah, you know, goes and shows the development of that halacha, that in the beginning it was, and then it ended up not being. At the end of the day, we don't say that there is an Isra Malacha on Purim. With that in mind, we still, though, do have a concept of simcha. So the Magen Avraham brings down also a possible question and a possible nafka mina, and that would be that, again, could a person make a chasna on Purim? Because, again, the idea of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha would be there, but v'samachta v'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha wouldn't, because there is no inyan of Simchas Purim the same type of way as you have on Yontif. Number of nafkaminas, number of issues, things that just come out from a reason. Pointing out to you again how important it is to look at the reasoning of the Gemara that we do and realize that understanding the reasoning has such implications, and that's why it's so important to focus on the Tamim and the reasons of the halakhas that we have. Have a wonderful day.